Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
We've just sung from Psalm 1 that your word is our delight, and we will meditate on it and therefore be planted like trees by the waterside, and not those who trust in other people's ideas. We ask that we'd be shaped in this area, like all other things, by your word. Amen. Now, for those, well, most of you know, for some of you who are not usually with us, we usually in the evening, as in the morning, work our way through a book of the Bible and see what God has to say to us through that. But about once a month, we take a break and we look at a tough question, perhaps a question that you have, or perhaps something that a non-Christian might say. So, by all means, it's an appropriate time to have if any other time is as well, to have for non-Christians to come and hear these questions, but to answer it for us as well, and to equip us to answer some of the questions that we get asked. And this question, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Apparently, I'm told, is one of the most common questions that are asked. And in one sense, you could say it's the wrong question, and then we have to work out what the real question is. And the real question depends a little bit on who's asking, which we've thought about in all these questions. So let's think first about what a Christian is, and then we'll think about what the church is, and then the problem with this question. So what is a Christian? You become God's friend by being forgiven and submitting to him, not by doing duty at church. That's fine. So does going to church make you a Christian? No. Of course not. No more than being in a garage makes you a car. You've probably heard that before. The message of Christianity is very simple. And you've heard all this sort of stuff from here before. God is powerful, and he's loving and good. He made everything, including us, in his image. But we reject him. We reject his rule. We declare ourselves in charge. And the consequence of that is judgment from God. But the good news is, as promised, Jesus came. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross. So we swap places with him, so that we can be credited with his good life, and he's credited with our bad life and rebellion, and he takes justly the penalty for that instead of us taking it. So at the end, he rises and he reigns, and of course there's his future return that we can look forward to. That's Christianity in a nutshell, not a very nuanced version, but that's Christianity in a nutshell. So how does someone become a Christian? Well, Jesus says, repent and believe. That's his summary. So repent, that's turning to Jesus as Lord, changing your mind about who the boss is, and believing and trusting in him. Basically, you think the cross and the resurrection works, and you put your trust in that. So that's what Christianity is. How to become a Christian? A Christian then is someone who repents and believes. They recognize their own sin and they come to Jesus, just like we did in the questions, the membership questions and the baptism questions this morning. The first one is about acknowledging our sin, the second one is about trusting in Jesus, and the third one is about, with the Spirit's help, trying to live for him. So we recognize our sin, we come to Jesus, and now, dwelt by the Spirit, try to live for him. And the Bible's realistic about the setbacks, but we'll live with Jesus as King. So, can we go to church and not be a Christian? Can we be in the garage and not be a car? Well, certainly a major problem in England, and it still exists in England, but in a smaller way, and it's a major problem around the world, is that of nominalism. So people go to church, but they haven't repented and believed, or only on a very superficial level. So what we've been saying for years, and people are still saying, is that doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church does not make you a Christian. And also we want to be clear that salvation is a free gift. It's not a to-do list. Now you put that together, and 2 + 2 for a lot of people has started to make 5. So you put that together, salvation's a free gift, not a to-do list. It doesn't make you a Christian to come to church, and what's been heard is you don't have to go to church. That's the logical outcome, isn't it? Now some will rightly say this. Once you are in his family, you will want to meet his family, the church. The church is the family get-together, and we all love those, don't we? Some of us do. Also, some will rightly say it's good to come to church because you learn lots about God and you worship together and it's good for you. A bit like taking cough medicine or something like that. But some will reply like this. You may have seen this already. Some things on Facebook, whether you like Facebook or not, some things just go viral, and this has gone round a lot. And a lot of my friends have put this on. A lot of my friends and family are not Christians, but some of my Christian friends have put this on and gone, isn't this shocking? And others have gone, isn't this brilliant? He's got the answer to everything. And so this piece is that, you know, I don't connect through singing and lectures. It's just not how I'm wired. I get closer to God in other places, and for him, obviously, it's in amongst trees. And other people, it's on the top of a mountain or on a yacht or wherever it is that's your bag. So he says, I don't go to church much. And the guy who wrote this is a guy called Don Miller, who's the man behind Storyline, something we've only come across recently. So it's where you get to write your story and you connect with God through that. And lots of high-profile Christians say that. They're often writers, they're often ironically church leaders, and also celebs will often say something like that. Now we'll come back to that attitude in a bit. But is what we've said the whole picture? So when we say, look, church is great, you meet together as a family and you learn stuff, and then someone will turn around and say, that's not really how I connect with God. Is church there because it's useful? Because if it is, not everyone claims that it is. So I don't actually think that is, I think that is true, those comments, but I don't think they're the whole picture. Realistically, we don't always want to be with the church. Same as, I'm not speaking from personal experience, but we don't always want to hang out with our family, do we? Well, maybe you do. So what then? Is it optional? Is it just for people who like their family? Does going to church make you a Christian? No. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I think if we're going to go by what the Bible says, I think we have to say yes. A slightly nuanced caveated yes, but yes. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, but you aren't given an alternative. So why church? Well, there's a number of things we could say here, and I'm going to be fairly focused, but one of them would be from Hebrews 3:13. It says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Now notice there, he says, encourage, that means give strength and build up, so we've got a responsibility to each other, one another, daily. So the writer of Hebrews might think we're being a bit lax. Hebrews 10:25, we heard this read a moment ago. So that's the Hebrews one just coming up on the screen, and then the other Hebrews one there is Hebrews 10:25 that Ruth read a minute ago. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me a lot like a command. A command with a purpose. There's a need. We need the church. Now, first notice, it's a command. Now, we thought about this a little bit this morning, about the relationship between grace and commands and obedience. They're not opposed. They're often put out there as if grace is one thing and commands is another. Now, we're not saved by obedience, that's certainly true. But we need saving because we're not obedient. But once we're saved, and we get lots wrong, sure, but obedience is not put out there as optional. And then notice there's a purpose, which is to build up and build others up. And you know the great irony of this is that on the internet now and in other places, in bookshops, you have these high-profile people writing books and doing conferences about why we don't need professional clergy while setting themselves up as professional clergy. Because if I wrote a book, no one's going to read it, probably. And maybe kind of a few of you might do to make me feel good, but it's unlikely that it's going to be a bestseller. And so people set themselves up in this position saying, you don't need people in this position. You know, we don't need people to write books. Buy my book to see why you don't need books and come to my conference to tell you why you don't need to get together in a group of people. And so, now I'm not going to do a talk about elders and do we need elders and that sort of thing, but notice the key text about church don't mention ministers and elders. It talks about each other. The need for Christians to meet with each other. So to opt out of church is a fundamental misunderstanding. Sure, your personal beliefs matter. Your personal relationship with God matters. But God saves himself a people. You have a job to do. I'm not sure if this was written as a response to that Don Miller thing. But it's interesting it came up and also went viral on Facebook about the same time. And it said this, it's a cartoon. And I haven't written it down, so I have to read it from here. It says, I'm a Christian, but I don't really go to church on Sundays. Not my thing. I don't feel a connection to God by singing songs and listening to preaching. I feel connected to God when I lay on the couch and watch Sports Center. It's cool, though. There are some famous Christians who feel the same way, so don't judge. Plus, I just can't find the right church. There must be a local congregation that could use my service or whatever, but I just can't find a church that 100% precisely what I prefer in every aspect of every way they do every single thing they do. What I'm saying is this. It's all about me. And that's, I guess, our culture is deeply embedded and it works out for Christians. Here's an interesting thought. God didn't save you. God didn't save you. He saved us. He saved a people. And he's given his people a job to do. So if, and notice I say if, you're not connected with church, it's not about you, silly, as someone famously once said. Someone came up to a minister at quite a big church in London and said, I didn't really connect with me. And he said, it's a good job. It's not about you, isn't it? Silly. And walked off. I won't walk off when people say that to me. But it's a good job. It's not all about us. We've got a job to do for others. It's not you have to have a specific job, just being here, just chatting to people before and after the service, things like that. And you find often you're just chatting with someone informally. I'm sure I don't need convincing about the value of sermons and things, but often it's just when you're chatting with someone over a cup of tea, the real action happens. My last church, I had an assistant minister for 3 years, and in his last week with me, I said, in the last 3 years, have I taught you anything? And he said, you've taught me one thing, and that is some of the best ministry looks a lot like drinking tea. And it is just when we get together, and some of the stuff that comes up about people struggling with life, and we can just encourage them and talk them through things, maybe pray with them, that sort of thing. So you see, being a Christian is a personal relationship, as it's so fashionable to say, but it's a personal relationship because we're indwelt by the Spirit and therefore united to Christ. But if that's true of me and it's true of you, then, and it's true of any Christian, then where do I meet Jesus? Well, where he indwells other Christians. I meet with Jesus where there are other Christians, because we're his body. That's how we're his body. How do I serve Jesus? Well, Jesus doesn't need food or comfort or my help, but his people do. His body does. Another thought about the how I don't connect with this sort of thing. Now, imagine you wanted to surprise me for my birthday. It's 25th of June, by the way. It's every 6 months, presents, Christmas and birthday. So if on the 25th of June you wanted to surprise me and you come round with some rich tea biscuits and Earl Grey tea and things like that, I'd be very touched by your thoughtfulness. However, I can tell you now, I don't like any of those things. I like Builder tea, real coffee and real ale. Full-blooded, sort of bodied red wine and foreign food and Fox's Crunches. They're the sort of things I like to eat and drink, and preferably, especially around my birthday, I like to do it outside with some mates, because it's normally good weather on my birthday. It's only rained 4 times on my birthday. So that's once every 10 years it rains on my birthday. So now imagine you give me the opposite. So you bring sweet, sickly, weak wine round with poncy tea and that sort of thing, and, I don't know, a One Direction album. All the stuff I don't like. And I say, well, I did sort of once, didn't I, sometime around February, talk about what I did and didn't like. Perhaps you've got a bad memory. And you go, yeah, well, I know that, Darren, but I feel I connect with you better this way. I'd say, no, you're just ignoring what I say. Look, you might love One Direction, just knock yourself out with it. But, you know, it's not going to warm me, it's not going to make my evening. I know what makes my evening. And now you've just ignored what I've said and spoilt my birthday. Now, take that, that's sort of a trivial example, but now let's think about something more serious about God. God says, this is how to meet with me. This is how to worship me. These are the things I like. Who do we think we are to start negotiating on those terms? Also, we think about what the church is. We've already alluded to this, but in Colossians 2 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, it is Christ's body. And in the book of Ephesians, which is a lot about the church, we find that the church is the centre of God's plan. I'm going to read to you from that verse that I've just put on the screen. Ephesians 3:10-11 says, his intent, speaking of God, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God uses his people, the church, to show the world and the spiritual powers what he's doing. Now we might think that God made a bad choice on that one, but that's how he's done it. God has said it's through the church, I'm going to demonstrate to the world what I'm doing. In Revelation to the churches, he calls them to endure. Because this is what he's doing, is the church. So it's important to remember what the church is. It's not a building, as you know, but the people gathered. And they may meet, as I know some churches do, in a pub or a school, or some they've had a bit more growth, a football stadium, whatever it might be. They may own their own building, they may not. They may meet in a home. And I guess we need a building, particularly in the last couple of months, because of weather conditions. But there's nothing special intrinsically about the building. In 1 Peter, he talks about God building a temple, the church, which is the people, and he's adding to it. And the whole Bible story is about God drawing people to himself. And the church is showing what God is doing through time and around the world. So the church is useful to you, for sure, and you are part of what is useful to other people. But it isn't just that. So church keeps people on track, otherwise we start doing and believing all kinds of strange things. And actually, that happens with the church anyway, doesn't it? It happens much more without it. But you put that together and you realise the church is very, very important. We're commanded to go because we need it and others need us there. I've done this diagram before. It's based on 1 Peter 4 and 1 Corinthians 12. That we need others and others need us. We need their gifts and they need ours. So the idea is that God gives to his people gifts, so that comes down from him, and they serve each other. And the result is that God is honoured through the process. We think we serve God, but no, in fact, we give God the glory by using what he gives us to serve others. Therefore, I need your gifts and you need mine. So when people withhold themselves from church, they're in a sense denying the church. They're cheating the church out of something. So these gifts are there to help us endure. And the point in Hebrews is all the more as we see the day approaching. In Revelation, it's a call to endure as his people, not miss out. So if we give up as Christians, we'll not finish the race and we'll not see the new heavens and the new earth. And church is one of those means to keep you going. So it's very dangerous to reject. So what are you saying when you say, I don't go to church, it just doesn't connect with me? You're either saying, I don't need you, which at best is arrogant, or I can be a Christian without your, I can be a Christian without your help, or you're saying, I don't care. I don't care if you don't get my gifts. And, by the way, God, you're also wrong. What you've said, it just doesn't connect with me. Being part of the church has got eternal consequences. Your eternity and those around you hangs on the church. I wonder if you knew that. And it's not just trying to draw people to God, but they're drawn to him through the church. It's a means of drawing people through the gospel, is the church itself. So, do you have to come to church? Yes. There's a book on my shelf. It's not the most riveting, I'll be honest with you. But the title is, it's one of these old books, is The Church is an Essential Element of the Gospel. Not the punchiest title, probably wouldn't get published now, but an excellent point, isn't it? So how do we answer this tough question? Well, it depends on who's asking. So you better find out who it is and why they're asking. What is the question behind the question for a non-Christian or a Christian? Well, a non-Christian, they're asking, is a churchgoer, they're asking a different question, aren't they? And so they're going to get a different answer. And we must get across grace. It's by grace that we're forgiven. So church is a place to find out about forgiveness, not just through courses, but through weekly sermons. We hear about how the gospel impacts our life, but also the church is where it's seen modelled out. So we could say the church is where the gospel is seen and heard. And you could say that God is making a people. So it isn't what makes you a Christian, it's just what Christians do. Like praying. Very Presbyterian phrase is means of grace. There's ways that ordinary things God gives us to do that ministers his grace to us. When I was in Peckham in London, the church that I was at did the Alpha course. And I'm not a great fan of the Alpha course itself. You can ask me why afterwards. But the motive for doing it was definitely right. And there were lots of people at our church coming to faith. But here was the interesting thing. When it came to promote the Alpha course, as you'd expect, they thought, let's promote it by getting someone who's become a Christian at the front and say how they've become a Christian. And someone who's become a Christian through Alpha. And the problem was we had to keep on pulling up the same guy, because all these people that were converted in our church were converted through our services and not through Alpha. And it even happened with... I did a baptism of a girl, she's now a missionary, with Crosslinks, and when we interviewed her beforehand, we said, how did you become a Christian? She pinpointed a period of time that she came to church, and she just said, just by hearing the Bible talk over those couple of months. And afterwards, Glad said to me, oh, you did all those sermons? So I thought, I better find out what the secret is for converting all these people. What did I preach on? And I preached on a topical series on the church and on work. And she was converted. And I wouldn't have planned to do that if that was the aim. So just by seeing the church and hearing it, hearing the Bible taught, has that impact on people. And that's true around lots of churches, even when we're not doing evangelistic things directly. And I guess it does show the value of doing these things, though, like Christianity Explored and things like that, the good thing about Alpha, and when we do events where the gospel's shared, it's not just imparting information. We don't reason people into the kingdom, but we actually give them a taster through the church. Because God is drawing to himself a people, and these people who... so that's how he does it. So the people who say, I don't connect to God through the church, they're going to hate heaven, aren't they? Because that's what it is. It might not be like this, but it's going to be... that's what heaven is God's gathered people, the church. So that's the approach to the non-Christian, is thinking about why the value of church, what it is. To the Christian, I guess the answer would be, well, once we're forgiven, church will keep us going. Church gives us what we need, and we give the church what others need. So it's not about breaking rules, but rejecting God's means. Often people don't like church because they don't like authority. Well, that's not a great attitude for a Christian to have, is it? It's not a healthy attitude for a Christian to take. Christians are under authority, a number of sources of authority, our bosses and so on, but ultimately we're under God's authority. But he subjects us to the state and church authorities as well. So if we're a Christian, we're someone who's repented, and rejecting authority, therefore, is not a good sign. So like I mentioned, these ordinary means of grace, church, Bible, praying, preaching, baptism, Lord's Supper, these are very ordinary ways God gives us that remarkably he gives us his grace through them. Ordinary human ways, he gives us something extraordinary and remarkable. So perhaps an answer might be, you have to go to church to stay a Christian, to become one and to stay one through faith. But God wants to use the church to keep you. Now, if you were housebound or a North Korean in jail for their faith, then God will provide for you. In fact, one of the things I did in Tranmere, there was an elderly lady. She couldn't get to church anymore. So actually what we did a few times a year is a group of us did church in her house. There was about six of us, and we did a little communion service in her lounge. So they couldn't get to church, so church got to them. As we're in a Methodist building, good to do a Wesley quote. That's a positive one. Wesley said, "The Bible knows of no solitary religion. The Bible knows of no solitary religion." So do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Well, you have to go to church to stay a Christian. Let's pray. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the days approaching. We are in a culture where people do their own thing, and if things don't feel good or aren't immediately useful to them, and obviously useful to them, then they give up. And we are sorry for times when we take a small view of the church. We ask that you'd enlarge our view of the church. And we ask too that you'd help us to encourage Christians that the church is a wonderful thing that you're working through. And when we're answering Christians, that we'd be non-Christians, we'd be able to give an honest answer that's full of grace, but also raises their view of the church as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.